So Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia," if you remember, the angel would be the messenger, or we realize he's talking to the pastor of the church there. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." Now that's going to be important here in just a little bit. We realize that when God opens a door, nobody can shut that door. When God closes a door, nobody can open that door until he opens it. So this is describing the one who's writing this letter. Look at verse number 8 now. He says this, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now we're not going to go through and try to identify everything that that Jesus means when he's writing to this church. I do want to take something that is very obvious out of this, and I want to use this as a challenge for us. And that is this phrase, "I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." And I want to challenge our church with this. If you go door-to-door soul winning, you're going to notice a couple things. You're going to notice two different kind of dogs. If you ever get a chance to go knock on somebody's door, you're going to notice two different types. I'm sure there's more than two different types of dogs, and we're making it even more complicated as we go. Like, not only are there Chihuahuas and Dachshunds, but now there's Chihuahuas, right? When you mix them up and you get them, we're just getting more and more complicated. But basically, two types of dogs. When you're going soul winning, when you knock on the door, the person opens the door, and there's the dog that stays inside when the person opens the door. That's the best kind of dog. Even if it may not look really friendly, at least it stays inside. Then there's the ones that explode toward the door as soon as it's open. Those are not the as good kind of dogs. I've knocked on lots of doors. I know many of you have knocked on lots of doors just since you've been part of this church. I've jumped over walls to get away from dogs. I've run away from dogs. I've thrown rocks at dogs to get away from dogs. I've yelled at dogs. One youth pastor's wife her husband was telling the story. She was walking with her kids in her neighborhood, and I guess in their neighborhood there happened to be a lot of loose dogs around. And I believe these were a pack of dogs, and some of them were pit bulls, and they started toward her with that menacing barking and growling. She was frightened. She began to panic. She didn't know what to do. So instead of yelling at the dogs, she started barking at the dogs. I guess just kind of instinctively, she thought, they won't understand what I'm saying, so I should bark at them instead of yelling at them. Anyway, the dogs turned around and left her alone. Moral of the story, I guess you should bark at dogs. Now, there's several kind of Christians. There's Christians who will look at open doors, but not go through them. There's Christians who will see an open door, but sit around waiting. And they waste their life doing less than they should while they're waiting for God to push them through the open door. Now there's Christians who try to go through the closed doors and spend their lives trying to kick open doors that God hasn't opened. I've been there. They want to do their will instead of God's will. So there's the ones that look at the door but don't go through them. The ones that see an open door but really don't go through them because they're just waiting for God to push them through. There's some that the door is closed, so they try to kick down the door and try to force their will. There's Christians who go through the doors that God opens for them. There's Christians who walk cautiously through the open doors that God opens for them. And then there's Christians who charge through the open doors full speed as God opens the doors for them. My challenge to you tonight, The Bible said, and Jesus was talking specifically to Philadelphia, but I believe much of this applies to us right now here in America. Jesus said, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." My challenge to you tonight is this. We have some open doors, and I want to challenge you as Christians. Let's go through those doors. The doors are open. Let's go through them. So I want to break this down. We're going to look at this. The book of Revelation begins with a letter from Jesus Christ himself to these seven churches. They were seven churches with seven unique sets of circumstances. And this church of Philadelphia was a growing church. They're experienced God's blessing, but they're also a persecuted church. In verse number 9, we see the persecution. Jesus said, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan." This I don't know if there was a place that was actually called a synagogue of Satan, or it was they said that they were a true synagogue, but we realize that they weren't true because they said they were Jews, but they were lying. They weren't really Jews. Either way, this was persecution was coming to this church. And Jesus said, "I'm going to make them to come and worship at thy feet to know that I have loved thee." They're facing persecution. But even through this, they kept the word of God, the Bible said. They did not deny the name of Jesus. So the challenge that God made to the church of Philadelphia is also a challenge to us. And here it is. "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." And understand, this was written to the church of Philadelphia, but I believe it applies in so many ways to us. This was a church in revival. This was a church experiencing the blessings of God. This was a church that was growing, a church that was moving forward, a church that was reaching people with the gospel. This church was not one of the churches that was just hunkering down. I think the word hunkering is just a funny word. Right? Hunkering, snorkel. There's just some words in the English language that are just funny words. This church was not a church that was just hunkering down, waiting for the rapture. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a church like that, but some churches have taken the stance of the rapture is coming. And, 30, 40 years ago, churches were saying, "Jesus is coming, so, you know, it's just going to be right around the corner." I remember being discouraged as a kid, hearing Jesus is coming, that shouldn't discourage any of us. But when somebody says Jesus is coming, and here's when he's coming, and it's like in 2 months, kind of keeps you from wanting to really do much for those 2 months. I mean, we're not going to make a lot of plans. We're not going to try to accomplish something great for God. But they've been saying in my lifetime, ever since I can remember, Jesus is coming just right around the corner. And sometimes that makes us get the mentality of, well, let's just occupy till he comes. Let's just sit here. We'll just wait till he comes. No, that's not what Jesus said to do. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." But he said, "I gave you an open door, and I want you to walk through it." This church wasn't just hunkering down waiting for the rapture. They had kept God's word. This was a church that had not denied Jesus' name. And I want to take what Jesus said to this church, I want to apply it to us. So let's just take this phrase, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." I just want to break that down. We'll work our way through it. More of a lesson tonight, more of teaching tonight than preaching probably. But I want to apply this to us. I think it'll be a great challenge for all of us. The word "behold." The word "behold" means look. Look, look what's going on. Keep your eyes open for opportunities to serve God. Keep your eyes open. "Behold, I've set before you an open door." Keep your eyes open for opportunities to do more for God. Keep your eyes open for opportunities to share the gospel. In order to do that, sometimes we've got to get our minds off of some things. If I'm going to be looking for the open doors, sometimes I don't see the open doors because I'm so focused on something else in my life. I want to challenge you. Let's get off our mind off. And I love sports, and I'm not against sports. But when that becomes our focus in life, I want to challenge you. Get your mind off sports for a while and realize there's an open door in front of you. God's got a plan for your life, and the door is wide open, and he's got a big plan if you'll just look, if you'll behold. Maybe get your mind off your favorite shows for just a little while. Or get your mind off your hobbies for just a little while. Now, all of these things, if you're not watching bad shows, then watching shows is not bad. Now, if you're watching bad shows, then stop watching the bad shows, right? But watching shows is not necessarily bad. Playing sports is not necessarily bad. Doing hobbies is not necessarily bad. Making money is not a bad thing. We've got to do that. But when that becomes the focus of our life, and you only see that, here's what's going to happen. God may open a door, and you might miss the opportunity because you are not behold him. Jesus said, "Behold, I set before thee an open door." Jesus said this in John 4:35, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You don't have to wait for God to open the door to look out and see that there's people all around us who need to be saved. The door is open. All you need to do is look, and there's people really all around us. You see the crowds of people. If you were had the opportunity to go down to Old Town when the choir was singing down in Old Town, you saw the thousands and thousands of people just everywhere down there. We're surrounded by people. If you go to a public school and you see the hundreds or the thousands of people, they go onto the UNM campus. If you just going around the city, there's so many people. On my way home, whenever I turn to go north and I look out towards the east and I can look down into the valley, especially at nighttime, and I can look down and I can see the thousands and thousands and thousands of lights of the city, I realize nobody has to open a door for me to see that. It's already open. I can look out and I can see. Listen, there's a need here. I want to challenge you this evening. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. Jesus said this first, behold, look. If we're so focused on some things that really don't matter, we're not going to look and see what really does matter. So first of all, I want to challenge you to look. The next is the word I. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. The word I is talking about Jesus. And here's what I want you to understand. When God is the one that gives you the opportunity, take the opportunity. You're going to get people giving you opportunities all the time. They may not always be good opportunities. Somebody may want to try to sell you something. Hey, you want to buy a sundial? You know, one of those. And you might get somebody try to sell you something. And they're not always good opportunities. Maybe they're a great investment. And this, you know, chance of a lifetime, ground floor opportunity. And so they're not always God's opportunity. But when God opens a door, he said, behold, I have set before thee an open door. The one who opened this door is God. Now, how do you know it's okay? How do you know it's from God? Great question. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. I'm not going to be able to answer specifically if your opportunity is from God, but here's some guidelines, and I'll go through them quickly. How do you know it's from God? If an opportunity comes, how do you know it's from God? Well, what does the Bible say about it? If an opportunity comes up and it's in direct conflict with the Bible, then you know it's not from God, because God's not going to send you an opportunity that that he already said is wrong. Okay, so last night we were talking about this. Why did God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil right in the middle of the Garden of Eden? Was that an opportunity from God? Was it God saying, here's permission to sin? No, it was an opportunity for Adam and Eve to prove that they loved God by obeying God. But every opportunity that comes is not from God. Okay, so if it's an opportunity, what does the Bible say about it? Question to ask yourself. God won't lead you in a way that's contrary to his word. I don't believe, for example, God's going to lead you to get a Bible verse tattoo, because the Bible teaches we're not supposed to put marks on ourselves. I don't believe God's going to lead you to take a job that takes you out of church, because we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So sometimes we get these opportunities and we think, wow, because I got this opportunity, it must be from God. Well, if it's contrary to the Word of God, then you could just write it off. That one wasn't from God. Well, how else can you find out? What if you get an opportunity and it doesn't conflict with anything in Scripture? And here's another question you could ask. What do wise Christians say about it? Not just anybody, not just wise guys, but what do wise Christians say about this? Is there anybody in your life that's a wise person? Maybe they're a bit older than you, or they got more experience than you in a certain area of life, and they are a believer. I'd include that in there. That's really, really important. Because somebody that's not a believer, they're going to base their decisions on what's best for them or what's best for you, and not necessarily what God's will is. So if you ask yourself, what does the Bible say about it? What do wise Christians say about it? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So God often uses wise counsel to help us make decisions. When God gives you an opportunity, take it. If it's not against his word, and you get some advice from wise counselors, and they still say, you know, this looks like it might be a good opportunity. What's another thing that you could check? Well, turn to Psalm, if you would, Psalm chapter 37. There's several verses right here in a row that can help us to decide if something is an opportunity from God. Actually, it's more of a principle that you can use to help you not necessarily to see if something is an opportunity from God, but to set the framework up in your heart so that you can recognize the opportunities from God and follow his will. So Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 3. You know some of these verses. In fact, you've probably memorized some of these verses. So the first question, what does the Bible say about it? Second question, what do wise Christians say about it? Third question, what do you believe God is telling you to do? I think that's a fair question. I almost wrote down, what do you feel like God's telling you to do? But it's not about feelings. What do you believe God's telling you to do? God doesn't speak to us through our ears most of the time. He could if he wanted to. We mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. But he speaks to us through our spirit. God is spirit. The spirit of God lives inside of us, and his spirit bears witness with our spirit. So he can communicate directly to our spirit. He can communicate to us bypassing our ears to speak right to our heart. Hope you understand where I'm going, and I'm not trying to get spooky on that. That's just, this is the truth. God lives in you. God can speak directly to your heart. All right? So what do you believe God is telling you to do? What do you believe God wants you to do? Well, look at verse number 3, Psalm 37, verse 3. The Bible says this, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So you've got your first statement, trust in the Lord. Look at verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I believe God actually changes our desires to match his desires as we delight ourselves in him. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. As we commit our way and we give our lives to God and we say, God, I want to live my life to serve you, the Bible says, you trust him, he'll bring it to pass. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Look at verse 7, rest in the Lord. After all that, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Trust in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, and then rest in the Lord. Let me sum it up with this statement. When you're right with God, and you're trusting God to lead you, and you're sincerely seeking God's will, I believe God will change your desires to match up with his desires so that you will want what God wants. Now, there are some qualifiers there. One is being right with God, committing your way to God, trusting in the Lord, delighting yourself in the Lord. As you are right with God, one of my mentors told me this, and this is just simplifying it, probably a little bit more simplified than it ought to be, but he said this, Dave, I believe when you are right with God, he said, I believe a man that's right with God can trust his desires. Now, understand that. We can't always trust our desires. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But whenever we're trusting God to lead us to the point where God changes my wants to match up with his wants, so an opportunity comes. What's the Bible say about it? What do wise counselors say about it? What do I believe God wants me to do? And as I make these decisions, I can rest in the Lord to either do God's will or rest while I'm waiting to do God's will. But I can rest. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be anxious about this. As I'm seeking God's will. When God gives you an opportunity, I just want to challenge you this, take it. Some of the opportunities that come up are obviously from God. Sometimes, God puts an opportunity in our lives, and I'm not saying any specific opportunity that maybe you've told me about or anything like that is from God. That's not why I'm preaching this message. But some of them are. And you just know, when God called me to preach, I was 10 years old and I came forward, it was so clear, God put this on my heart. When God wanted me to go to Bible college, it's so clear that I needed to go to Bible college. When God brought us here to Albuquerque, it's so clear. And God just led us each step of the way. And as God opens these doors of opportunity, take those opportunities. So many times we're just scared. We're afraid of what God's going to do. Either we're afraid of failure or we're afraid of success. Because what if we really do what God wants us to do and we really succeed? Where is that going to put us? Don't be afraid. Be willing to take those steps. Jesus said this to the church in Philadelphia. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. So behold, look, I, that is God who has done it. And here's the next statement, have set. Have set. It's in the past. Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia, behold, look, I, Jesus, have set before you an open door. It's not that I'm going to set before you an open door, although that may have been true. It is, I have set, the opportunity is already there. This is great for us to understand. You may not know how far ahead of you it is. You might not even be able to see it yet. But God's got an opportunity for you. God's got an open door for you. You may not know how far down the road it is. You may not know how many steps down this path you have to go. But Jesus said, or the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And he also said he'd direct your path. So you may not know how far away it is, but start going that way. It may be in the future, but understand this. The future is not a problem for God. God has already seen the future, and he wrote a book about it. And more than that, God is already in the future because he's not bound by time. So Jesus said to this church of Philadelphia, "Behold, I have set before you." It's already there. The door is open. I have already set before you. It's in the past. It's there. It's already ready for you to walk through it. It's maybe that door is in your future, but it's already set there by God. God's opportunity may be so close that it's right now. It may be so close that it consumes your thoughts. As Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's getting ready to go to the cross, he'd been looking forward to this day and he knew this day was coming, but now it's just right around the corner. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be whipped and beaten. He's about to be crucified. And as he prays, when great drops of blood like sweat are coming from his brow, and he prays and he says, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done." It may be just right around the corner. This door of opportunity has been set and it's already open. And maybe in the future, maybe close. But God has an opportunity waiting for you. You just need to be ready when you get the opportunity. And that's my challenge on this point. You will find God's will at the intersection of preparation and opportunity. Walgreens is on the corner of healthy and happy, right? God's will is on the corner of preparation and opportunity. God's already laid the opportunity there. The door has already been opened. God's got a plan for your life. God has had a plan for your life since before you began your life, and the door is already open. The plan has already been set. Now, our responsibility is to prepare for that opportunity. Our challenge is we don't always know what the opportunity is. So we need to follow God's will. We need to prepare as God leads us and let the Holy Spirit guide us. And as he leads us, just keep stepping through the doors. Keep stepping through the doors. Keep walking down that path and keep preparing, because eventually you're going to get to that opportunity, and you don't want to get to the opportunity and not be prepared. This is so important for us. Jesus said, "I have set before you this opportunity." God's already laid an opportunity in front of you. You need to be ready for that opportunity when you get there. Let me give you a couple of examples. When your path of life leads you to the right person to marry, all right? So most of you have already been down that path. Hopefully you did it right, all right? Because if you're married, you're married to the right person now, all right? You can't go back and say, "You know, I think I want a mulligan on." You don't get mulligans on unless you marry a mulligan, then you're stuck. You've married the person, but okay. So some of you, you're looking for the right person to marry. When your path of life leads you to that right person to marry, you need to be prepared by knowing what kind of person God wants you to marry. If you get to that point in life and you're going to have a bunch of, well, in my case, it wasn't a bunch of people. They weren't falling at my feet asking me, "Are you available?" I promise you that. But some of you, you may have got to that point and there's lots of options. I didn't have lots of options. And my wife settled hard, though, when she married me. Now, look, you're going to get to that point. There's going to be those options. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready to be able to look at the different character traits and look at the different people and be able to compare them with Scripture. And you're going to know what kind of person that you need to marry. Don't wait until that point to start deciding and trying to figure out what kind of person you ought to marry. You need to be prepared by knowing what kind of husband or wife God wants you to be. Don't wait until you get to the point where you are married and then try to figure out, okay, now I better figure out what kind of husband I'm supposed to be or what kind of wife I'm supposed to be. Now a lot of us do that because they don't have classes on this in the world, right? They don't have classes on how to be a good husband or how to be a good wife. I mean, did anybody take that in school? They usually don't offer that one, but we need it. Wow, we need that. So, but let me challenge this. If you're not already there, prepare now so that when you get there, you're ready. The opportunity comes, you're prepared for that opportunity. You need to be prepared. If you're looking for the right person to marry, this is an example, just a long illustration. By keeping yourself pure, by knowing your God-given role in marriage relationships, by knowing your purpose for being on the earth, husbands, let me help you with something here. A wife that's trying to help her husband succeed has a difficult time doing that when her husband doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing with his life. My wife has made it her purpose in life. It's just an amazing thing. But she's made it her purpose in life. Ever since before we were married, she wanted to marry a preacher. And she felt like that's God's plan for her life. And her plan was to be able to help that man, whoever it happened to be, to be a successful man for God and whatever God called him to do, to help him to be a success. Now, wives, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to stand behind your husband and say, I want to help you to be the man that God has called you to be. But husbands, if you don't know what you're doing in life and you're just kind of wandering from here and there, it's just hard on your help meet to be a help meet because they don't know what they're helping you meet. So I want to challenge you about this in finding success, right? Finding God's will and doing it. I think that's the best definition I've ever heard of success. Find God's will, do God's will. You will be fulfilled. Your family could be fulfilled as well. Let me give you another example of being ready when the opportunity comes. Learn to live by principles now so that you're prepared when the decisions of life come later. Okay, so here's an example. Deciding to live by a budget. I know we don't like to say that word, especially this time of year. But here's what it does. It's a principle that helps you make future decisions for you. If you do a budget the way you're supposed to do a budget, you tell the budget what to tell you what to do. You make the budget, right? You write it down, and so basically you're making some principles, you're making some rules for yourself. And as you write those rules down, those rules help you in the future because you write down the rules and they say you can spend this much on this and this much on this, this much on this, and the new TV comes out. And if you wrote in the rules that you can buy the new TV, you buy the new TV and it's great. But if you made the rules that says I'm not going to buy it, well, you don't really say I'm not going to buy a new TV, but you say this is how much money I have, and if I don't have the money to buy the new TV, now, if you just bought a new TV, please forgive me. I'm not preaching against you. I'm in the market for one myself. So if we set the rules beforehand, we're prepared, and then when the opportunity comes, we're ready. Okay, these are just examples. Get ready for the opportunities in your future now. God already has the opportunities planned for you, so you need to do your best to prepare for them. Behold, I have set. The door's already open. God's already got a plan, and he's ready for you to walk in. Behold, I have set, and the next word is before. Behold, I have set before you an open door. The word before means in front of. The open door is not behind you. It's not right where you're at. It's before you. That means you've got to step forward to go into it. That means you can't just stand where you're at and go through the door at the same time. The opportunity is in front of you. You can't sit where you are and move forward at the same time. Okay, so let's go some practical examples. What if Noah had not climbed aboard the ark? We say climbed aboard the ark. I don't think he climbed. I think he walked aboard the ark. But what if Noah hadn't walked through his opened door? Eventually, God was going to come and shut the door. And Noah would have been on the outside just like everybody else in the world that perished. Noah had to not just build the ark and not just look at the nice open door. The door was before him. It was in front of him. He had to do something. He had to walk through that door. You can't just stand there and look at the wonderful opportunities. You got to go forward. You got to do something to get there. What if David hadn't gone down to that brook and picked up those 5 smooth stones? He had to go. He had to get started. He had to do something. Abraham's servant, I believe it was Eliezer, but the Bible doesn't specifically say who it was that went and found Isaac's bride and brought her back. I think it was Eliezer, but as he went to go find Rebekah, he told her this. He said, here's how this all happened. He said this, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. As I was walking this way, and as I left home, and as I was on my way searching for you, the Lord led me. And I, being in the way, the Lord led me. It wasn't an I being sitting on the couch at home, the Lord led me, or I sitting around doing nothing, the Lord led me. It was I being in the way, the Lord led me. Jesus said, behold, I have set before thee. It's in front of you. And I want to challenge you. We need Christians who are willing to take a step forward, willing to, listen, sometimes it's uncomfortable because you're stepping out of your comfort zone. Sometimes it's scary because you're taking a step into the dark. You remember the message that we preached about faith? Some of you may remember that, where we had the ropes and we had to take a step of faith. And how many of you've been rappelling before? Because this just helps you understand this. I didn't say how many of you are rappelling. I said, how many of you have been rappelling? All right. To go rappelling, you've got to take a step off of a cliff or off of a helicopter or something, and you've got to trust that rope's going to hold you. And my experience is that first step is the scariest step to take because there's a little bit of slack in that rope. And until it gets pulled tight, you're kind of just stepping off into space until it catches you. And that's what we're talking about. Behold, I've set before thee the open doors in front of you. You've got to take that step forward. It's a step of faith most of the time. Behold, Jesus said, I have set before thee. All right, so we've said this verse several times. Who's that? Well, we know the I here is Jesus. He's the one that has set before us the open door. But who's the thee? The thee, okay, it's you. The opportunity here is for you. In this case, it was for the church in Philadelphia. It may not be an opportunity for everybody. It is specifically an opportunity for you. I know that Jesus wrote this to the church of Philadelphia, but I believe he wrote this to us as well. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. It's an opportunity for you. Here's what I want you to get from this point. God has custom matched you with an opportunity. I have set before thee an open door. God's got a plan for your life. It's custom designed for you, and he wants you to step through that door. I'm going to be soon teaching on spiritual gifts, and I'm going to challenge everyone to get involved in an area where God has gifted you to serve. God hasn't gifted all of us in the same way. Some of us have natural talents. Well, we all have natural talents, but they're different. All right, some of you are really good at making people feel welcome. That's not my gift. I have the gift of opening my mouth and sticking my foot in it before I should have said something. Anybody else with that spiritual gift? The spiritual gift of running people off without even trying, all right? But some of you, you just have this amazing gift of making people feel comfortable, and they talk to you for a while, and they're like, oh, I just feel so welcome. That's not my spiritual gift. I wish it was. There's every one of us, God's gifted you with something. We're going to teach Sunday mornings. Starting in January, we're going to have combined Sunday school classes for probably about 12 weeks or so. And that's one of the series that I'm going to teach. And I want you to find out, what are my spiritual gifts? What is it that God has made me for? What is the customized door that God has put in front of me that's just for me? Behold, I have set before thee. And then the word, an open door. The opportunity is available now. It's not a closed door. It's not a door that needs to be pushed open. The door is open. Jesus said this to the church of Philadelphia, behold, I have set before thee an open door. But here's some thoughts. An open door. A door that's open now may not have been open in the past. A door that's open now may not be open in the future. But there is a door now. And there's a door that's open right now. After World War II, we missed an amazing opportunity. Japan had crumbled. The infrastructure of Japan was just in shambles. Men came, I don't remember exactly who they were, but missionaries came and they said, listen, if we go now, if we send missionaries now, we can reach this nation of Japan. We helped to rebuild their infrastructure. The United States helped to rebuild it. Now, Japan has become an amazing economy, but we missed an opportunity. There are some churches in Japan, but not what could have been. There was an open door, but now that door is not open anymore like it was. The children of Israel were going into the promised land. The first time they got there, they got to Kadesh Barnea. They looked into the promised land. They sent the 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, no, there's no way. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. How big were those guys? Those guys must have been big giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua said, no, we should go. Let's go in. Let's take it. They missed the opportunity. The door was open, then they missed it. And God said, okay, you said no, so I'm not going to let you go in. And then the other 10, all the people said, we're going now, God. We changed our mind. We're going. And they tried to go in, and God cursed them for that. The door was open for a while, but then it was closed. Later, they came back, and they came to Jericho. They did it God's way. They came in, and the door was open. God's given us an open door. He set before thee an open door. The first one is this, an open door for salvation. God's given you an opportunity to be saved today. If you're not saved today, you don't know if you're going to have the opportunity tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to have a tomorrow. But Jesus said, you have today. The door is open today. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today while the door is still open. That may not be you. Maybe you've already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you walked through that open door. So today, listen, you've got an open door for service. Everybody that I'm talking to right now, you can serve God now. There's some people that can't serve God now like you can serve God now. My wife spent a couple hours this weekend on Friday helping one of the ladies of our church that can't come to church very much anymore because she's blind and she's dealing with cancer, helping her pack up some things so she can move. She was texting back and forth with my wife, and she said, My hands hurt so bad from neuropathy that the only thing I can feel is pain. I can't feel things. I can't pack things. So Jen went and helped her move for a little bit. Listen, that's not you. You've got an opportunity to serve. You can do something now because you do have these gifts. You do have your eyesight. You do have opportunities to serve. You've got an open door. Don't wait till you're older to serve God. A good friend of mine, we went to Bible college together. We were both in our 30s. He told me his goal was to be a pastor when he was 50 years old. I just started the church, and he said, I want to be a pastor. By the time when I'm 50, I want to become a pastor. Let me just say this. Don't wait until you're 50 to do what God wants you to do. Some of you are past 50 now, okay? So you're like, man, I wish I could go back to 50 to start up. You know, do not pass go, go back. Don't wait until later. Don't wait until you're older. This is the teenagers all the time saying, I'm going to wait until I'm an adult to really start serving God. Don't wait until you're an adult to start serving God. Serve God now. If you're a teenager, listen, you're living life on scholarship right now. Somebody else is providing for your needs. You can serve God for free. Don't wait until you're an old person, like, right? What do we used to say? We used to say 40s. I'll have to adjust that. Don't wait until you're an old person, right? Whatever that age, it's an age that nobody knows what that age is. It's just there, right? Don't wait. Serve God now. Don't wait until next week to serve God. Serve God now. Don't wait till you're older to serve God. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to miss while you're waiting. Tell people about Jesus now while the door of opportunity is open. Be a soul winner this week. Read your Bible today. Take the next step towards serving God this year. Kids, obey your parents today. Look for someone to help this week. Stop waiting for the perfect time to start serving God. What do engineers call it? Is it paralysis by analysis? Is that how that is? Something like that. Don't sit back waiting for the perfect opportunity so long that you never do something. It'd probably be better to get involved doing something for God than waiting for the perfect opportunity to do something for God, because the perfect opportunity is never going to come. I was the same man that told me that everybody that's in the will of God likes it, Pastor Gordon Rogers. He told me this. I was looking at the possibility of getting married, and I was probably about 20 years old. He said something like this: Dave, if you wait until you're financially ready to get married, you're never going to get married. If you wait until you are completely ready to serve God, you're probably not going to do it. Start serving God now. Give God what you've got now. You don't have to have a Bible college degree, and you don't have to have a doctorate degree. There's all kinds of things you don't need right now. You just need to start serving God. I being in the way the Lord led me, there's an open door. It's available now. Jesus said this: Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And he finished with this: and no man can shut it. When God opens or closes a door, there's nobody else that can change that. When it's open and God opens it, nobody's going to shut it. Who closed the door on the ark? Do you remember? The Bible says, and God closed the door. Noah built the ark because God told him to. Noah got into the ark. But when it was time, Noah didn't even close the door. God closed the door. When God opens it, nobody's going to shut it. When God shuts it, nobody can open it. Listen, the door to reach lost people in America is wide open right now. We have an opportunity. I don't know if it's as open as it was in the 70s. Some of you that were around, you were in churches in the 70s. You know, wow, what an open door we had. Churches were running bus routes and hundreds of people were coming. The churches that now are running less than 100 were running almost 1,000 in the 70s. It was a big time for serving God, and the door was wide open. But listen, we still have an open door. It may not be as wide open as it was, but it's still an open door. We can share the gospel. We can walk freely from door to door. We can tell people how to be saved. Let's take advantage of this open door as long as God keeps it open. No president or senator or judge can shut it. But when God closes the door to reach people in America, there will be nothing any of us can do to pry it open again. I don't know that he's going to in our lifetime. I don't know if he ever will. But let's reach our nation while we still can. We've got an open door. If you just watch the news, you think, Lord, it looks like this door is closing. I mean, you just watch the news. Maybe don't watch the news, okay? Whenever you hear the changes in our society, 10 years ago, if you would have told me we'd be hearing the news stories that we hear today, I'd have said, you're crazy. You're crazy. The news stories are just so, so insane. People can identify as whatever they want to. An old guy's trying to identify as a 49-year-old. He said, I feel like I'm 49 years old, so that's what I am. Legally, I want to be 49 years old. I self-identify as a 49-year-old, even though he's in his 60s or something like that. That's nuts! You can't do that! Well, he is. One of our representatives, I think it was Representative Candelaria, he just got elected into office. He's really pushing a bill through so that people in New Mexico can identify on their birth certificate as how they feel instead of what they are. Our world is changing. We don't know how long this door is going to be open, but let me say this, it will not close until God closes it. We've got an opportunity. Let's share the gospel with people. The door to serve God through New Heights Baptist Church is wide open right now. God's given us an open door. He's placed His hand of blessing on this church. Let's make good use of this open door while we can. Now, I hope it never comes, but there may be a day when God removes His blessing from our church. I hate to think of it. I don't want to think of it. But it's happened to churches all over our country, all over our world. Churches that used to be soul winning churches and on fire churches, either they're closed, they're renamed, they're totally gone, they're just not there. Let's use this opportunity. God's given us an open door. Let's walk through it. Let's serve Him. Let's serve God now. Take risks for God now. Invest your life in the kingdom of God now. If you wait till next year, you're going to have missed precious opportunities that you'll never be able to get back. Jesus said this, "Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it." Father, I pray that you would help us to walk through this open door. There's so many different doors that you have open. There's opportunities. There's steps into your will that we need to take. There's a door of reaching our nation with the gospel. There's a door of reaching the city with the gospel. There's the door that some young people are going to be taking at some point soon of finding the person that they need to marry or that you want them to marry and marrying that person. Lord, there's so many opportunities that are going to come up. Lord, I believe that you've set before us an open door. Help us to learn to recognize your will and that what doors you open. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to walk through those doors. Help us to take those steps of faith. Help us to serve you and help us to get involved. Not just sit around and wait, but get involved going through this door. You told the church in Philadelphia that you'd set before them an open door. No man can shut it. Lord, I pray that you just help us to do your will right now while the door is open.